Father, we come today and we visualize in our minds what it must have looked like when our Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Son, took his place on that little colt and rode down that hill to the shouts of Hosanna from the crowds. And what a wonderful and glorious welcome it was. And we rejoice too as we think of it, because we know that he truly is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And hopefully that is truly what he is in our own hearts, in our own lives. Now, Lord, we pray as we share a little bit of context here of these events from your word, that you will impress on us to do as Jesus did and to be as he was. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Now, if you do want to possibly be ready to take any kind of a note or anything, there's a place for that down under some scriptures that we've put there. As we pick up the story of the triumphal entry, Jesus' ministry is entering its final phase. Jesus has just arrived in the area of Jerusalem from Jericho for the Passover feast. He knew it would be his last, and that his betrayal and crucifixion was just days away. He attends a banquet in his honor and spends the night with Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. On Sunday, he begins to make his way to Jerusalem, and that's when the events of Palm Sunday unfold. Though his appointment with death and the power of darkness is just days away, there is still ministry to be done. And it is on this that he focuses, not the events that await him. The Father's business is still his priority, and he, better than any of us, practices what he himself taught, to take one day at a time with no thought for the morrow. In the Sermon on the Mount, he had said, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So Jesus will focus on today. Jesus fully knows that ahead lies the agony of the cross. Ahead lies betrayal. Ahead lies a baptism of suffering greater than any human has ever been subjected to. But today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24. Yes, in less than a week, Jesus will be hanging on the cross, beaten, bruised, bleeding, giving his life for the sins of the world. But today is a day for rejoicing. Today is a day for the people to remember all the mighty works they have seen and give glory to God in spontaneous praise. Today is a day for the teacher of Galilee to be recognized with shouts of Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our Father David. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Blessed is the King of Israel. Tell your disciples to be quiet, say the Pharisees. I tell you, says Jesus, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. And the rejoicing continues. Some lay their coats and jackets in the way. Others cut branches from trees, especially palm branches, and lay them in the way. The crowd builds, the praises swell, and Jesus is accorded one of the most joyous welcomes to the holy city any king or dignitary has ever received. A baptism of suffering lies just around the corner. But today is a day for the people to rejoice, God's praises resound, and for the master to receive the welcome of a king. Nonetheless, not all is joy and celebration. For as the master comes to a bend in the road where the glorious city suddenly breaks into full view, the city he so passionately loves, the city from which he knows he will one day rule the world, the city he knows is about to resoundingly reject him, the city he knows will be destroyed and laid waste in less than 4 decades and experience suffering and destruction like few cities ever have, the city that has failed to recognize or embrace their Messiah, suddenly our Lord is overcome with sorrow. Brokenhearted and between sobs, he cries out to the city he so passionately loves. Even you, had only known this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. The day for recognizing God's mighty works and celebrating his faithfulness and praising him with all that is within us is equally a day for weeping for those who know not Christ. So begins Passover week for our Lord. The crowds disperse. The people go home to rest. Jesus and the disciples spend the night in Bethany. Monday dawns. Betrayal and arrest are now less than 90 hours away. And Jesus knows that only 4 days of ministry remain. But 4 days are 4 days. And there are still things to be done. 4 days are not to be wasted. In just 4 days, Jesus will be hanging from a cross. But today, there are opportunities to teach and minister and serve. In fact, these 4 days will be some of the busiest of Jesus' entire ministry. There's a fig tree to curse for teaching his disciples about faith. There's a temple to cleanse of those buying and selling and trading there. There is teaching to be done daily in the temple courts and sick and needy folks that need healing. There is truth to be shared with the unbelieving and the hard-hearted and the self-righteous. There are trick questions to be fielded from his detractors and opponents. There are parables to tell and questions to pose to his listeners. There are private teaching sessions to have with the disciples on topics as varied as the events of the end time and the signs of his return to teachings about the coming of the Holy Spirit and how to pray effectively and about loving each other. There's a Passover meal to keep with the disciples, and there are feet to wash and final instructions and commands to give. There are prayers to pray in the garden while the disciples sleep, and a high priest's servant's ear to heal in the very moment of his arrest. There are Jewish officials and a Roman governor and a king to witness to during his marathon trial, and a couple of thieves to witness to, and a mother to provide for, even as he hangs on the cross. The trial and the crucifixion are near, but today is a day of service and ministry and obedience to the Father. While it is yet day, while there is still time, while opportunities remain, while there is work yet to be done, while time allows, the Son will be about the Father's business, right to the end, right to the final hour. The rigors of tomorrow will not unsettle the heart of God's Son. The fear of the future will not distract him from today's task. Worries will not cause him to lose sleep or sap his strength for the coming day. Confusion will not cripple him. Anxiety will not paralyze him. What could be will not divert him from the task at hand. His delight is to do the Father's will, right here, right now, this day, without regard for what may or may not lie ahead. Each day will be employed to the fullest for fulfilling the task the Father has given him. Next Friday, that will mean hanging on a cross. But today, it is ministering to those the Father places in his path. He goes to bed each night knowing he has done the Father's will for that day, and that brings him great peace. He trusts the Father implicitly and rests in the assurance of the Father's care, provision, and protection. And when the time comes, he will have grace to face what the Father has planned for him. Today, he has grace to carry out the Father's will for today. And when the race is run and the Father's will is fully done, when he has finally cried, "It is finished," there will be life and love and joy and victory for all eternity. But today, the Father's work beckons. It's time to go to work. Tomorrow will take care of itself under the Father's loving hand. Here are some quotes from our Lord Jesus. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." He lived by that better than any of us have. But that's how he wants us to live. One day units, one day at a time. Even if you regret the past or finally remember the past, whether you dread the future or look forward to the future with expectation, the only time you can actually live in is today. And Jesus was better at that than any of us. He lived in the present, even though he knew what was coming. He said, "As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. The night is coming when no man can work." And on his way to raise Lazarus, he says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" The day is for working. And that is what Jesus is alluding to. We know night's coming, but that's all the more reason to be busy now. The plowman doesn't get up in the morning and say, "Oh, it's going to be dark tonight. Oh, I think I'll stay here and I'll moan and groan about that all day." No, he gets his plow and he goes out and he works right until the twilight. Remember when people worked in the fields from sunup to sundown? That's the way it should be as we work for our Lord. And then after the resurrection, Jesus says to the disciples, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." We're not God's son in the sense that Jesus was. He's unique. He's alone. But he's bringing many sons to glory. And he has redeemed us for a purpose. And as he was in this world, even so he wants us to be in this world. He left. Do you remember that? After 40 days, he left. He went back to the Father. He hasn't been back since. He'll be back on that day when he appears. But the Holy Spirit has come in the meantime to fill in for him in the here and in the now. He's up there interceding and running things from the executive branch. But the Holy Spirit is right down here right now, and he is here to empower us. Jesus said, "The works that I do will ye do, and greater shall ye do, because I go to my Father." Do you choke on that verse? And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And what he accomplished on Calvary and through his death and through his resurrection, he has now assigned to us to go and to do and to carry forth that work until he returns again. And in the very same sense that the Father had a plan for him and every single day was planned, And the Father already knew beforehand what He wanted His Son to do each and every day. And the Son would get those directions from Him on a daily basis. And then He would go and He would do it. God has no less of a plan for you and me for each and every day. If I belong to Him, if He bought me with His blood, if I belong to Him, if He has called me out of this evil world for His purposes, and I'm on my way to heaven, the only reason He has me here right now is so that I can do His work, shine for Him, and bring others into the kingdom. And we get all bogged down with all the other stuff. We worry about the past, we worry about the future, we do all of these things, and yet God has things for us to do today. So I would just like to close that way and to encourage us that as the Lord Jesus remained busy for His Father right up, I mean even in the trial, even from the cross, there is still time to give, still time to shine, still time to work for the Father, that so it would be with each and every one of us, and that would be our focus. Lord, I don't know how many of us know what the time of our homegoing is going to be. How many of us know when we might, you know, wind up disabled in some way or whatever. We never know these things, do we? And we don't have to worry about those things. But while it is day, we have opportunity. While it is day, we have time. Not to be self-centered and self-indulgent and self-focused, but to worship Him first and then to work for Him for the benefit of those around us. It says in one place, God is not unfaithful that He should forget your labor of love. And whatever our station in life today, we may be young. Some people use their youth as an excuse to do little for the Lord because they say, I'm not old enough. And then guess what the seniors say? I'm too old. The fact of the matter is, whatever our station in life today, the Lord has a plan for that day. He has things He wants us to people to call, people to see, people to write to. After my mom was homebound and couldn't go out anymore, she had such an avid letter-writing ministry, and she was writing to prisoners. She would be given names of recent converts in the prison, and she would write to them to encourage them. The Lord has something for every one of us. And whatever tomorrow holds, good or otherwise, God will give me grace for it when it comes. But today, let's worship Him. Today, let's praise Him. Today, let's exalt Him. And let's do whatever He tells us to do. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for an obedient Son. If He had not been obedient, we would not be here today. We would still be lost in our sins. He was obedient. He was obedient in the work You gave Him to do so far as ministry. And then when that part was fulfilled, He was obedient to do the greatest work of all, which is what He did, hanging from that cross for our sins. And now You have raised Him to the highest position. Oh, Father, today, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know You've given us today. And this day is for focusing on You. This day is for worshiping You. This day is for being useful to You and being a blessing to others. And we pray that that same mind that was in our Lord Jesus would likewise be in us, and that we would be as dedicated each day to following Your will and following Your directions for that day as our Lord Jesus was. And if we do, I know we'll be blessed. We'll notice a change in our lives. We'll even notice a change in the people around us. Only let us be dedicated to doing Your will. Not tomorrow, but today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's another place in the Word where it says today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Have you been considering giving and surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't think about it anymore. Make today that day.